think it might be a wonderful opportunity to get a little glimpse of reality about what's going on with homeless youth in our community. So you're calling Leo? Did he pick up? What do I have to say? I don't have much more to say. Oh, can I talk about welfare reform? Okay. The changing subject on 89.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. Tell your friends. Okay, I'm told I'm going to get interrupted, but I'm going to start anyway. I need to appeal to everyone who doesn't hate children in the United States to please call Senator Feinstein, ask her to change her position and vote no on block granting the federal money that comes out into California and other states to help support aided families, or you're going to see a hell of a lot more homelessness. You're going to see what you see on the street now times five. The 4,000 families that are now getting some help are going to, a fourth of them are going to be on the streets. This week they decide. Don't support block grants. Then call Clinton. Ask him to veto it if the Senate finance bill does come out and it supports block grants. That would be bad. No block grants for welfare families.
Okay, we're now talking to Leo Buhacker, who's head of homeless outreach. You are, of course, Leo, on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM.
Oh, this isn't KZSC?
No, this isn't KZSC. We are a smaller station, but still, we're still fighting to get our share of the market here.
Oh, okay.
What's happened here, Leo, is we have just read in toto the Santa Cruz County Sentinel article of Saturday, August 5th.
Oh, wow, great.
And we've also had Linda LeMaster, who is head of Housing Now Santa Cruz, and who is in the studio with us here today.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Leo. I'm glad you're there.
She has actually been defending you, Leo.
I've been defending your operations.
Thank you.
Perhaps the only person in the county to defend you at this point.
Well, it's a relative position I'm taking at that.
So, in the interest of truth and justice, let me give a little background, Leo. I've worked with you in a couple of areas. Initially, I was rather suspicious of you because of your connection with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which apparently has now been somewhat severed. Is that right?
Exactly. It's been severed in several ways.
Tell me, how has that connection been severed?
On June the 13th, 1995, we sent a letter to the executive director, Paul Marceau, stating that...
Speak up a bit if you can.
Saying that we no longer desire to be a part of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of informally related to them. But I think they just really wanted our money, and they really didn't care about the people who worked here very much. And... You know, we are very poor and or homeless or formerly homeless people, and so, you know, we are working really hard to educate and to create interest and awareness on the problem, and we just felt that we wanted to take a new direction. So that's one way. Another way is their primary fundraiser for the business community, Kimberly Carter, left them at the end of June. So it seems like, I don't know what's happening, but. Yeah, so you were correct in saying that they have been partially severed.
Let me ask you this. The claims in the newspaper story, the Sentinel story, are that Lynn Bayshore claims that you continue to use the name of the Homeless Garden Project on your material, or use their materials to do educational outreach. Is that true?
It's actually false. Let's see, in fact, on our literature, we clearly state, we have a disclaimer that says that we are not affiliated with the Homeless Garden Project. So we did mention the Homeless Garden Project in our disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
So letting people know that we are not affiliated with the Homeless Garden Project, contrary to what she says. We don't use any of their educational materials. We are participants, and we have contributed $400 to community-supported agriculture of the Homeless Garden Project, and so they send us literature in the mail. We go every Friday to the Homeless Garden on Pelton Avenue and pick up produce, and so in that sense, we have literature, and we tell people that we've given hundreds or thousands of dollars to that program. So, but they're not mentioned in our literature. We do mention the language homeless gardens because there are several homeless gardens in the community. Like, I think Food Not Bombs has a homeless garden. There's a homeless garden in the San Lorenzo Valley. There's schools that have gardens that that are for the benefit of the homeless. So,
and do you actually? How do you support those gardens?
Well, I think that our perspective is that we really have to look at homeless activism and homeless service providing and as a union, as a joint effort, and not as dividing. Say, well, this is my homeless garden, or no, this is my homeless garden.
Right, but how? When you claim to be fundraising for homeless gardens, how does the money get from you to the homeless gardens? And more specifically, how much money has gotten to which homeless gardens?
Right. We don't claim to fundraise for the homeless gardens. We claim to help support homeless gardens, and we provide support in several ways, one of which is fundraising. And we do make contributions, and we only, unfortunately, have made contributions to the Homeless Garden Project so far. We support the Homeless Garden Project also through volunteers, and we support the Homeless Garden Project finally through giving work references outside of the homeless garden, like in landscaping and in gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have volunteered at the Homeless Garden Project. So in that sense, we support them. But we support all homeless gardens in this community, if not tangibly, but definitely with spirit and letting people know that they exist.
Mm-hmm. Has the story in the Sentinel had much impact on your fundraising? I guess it's only been out for 2 days, but what's been the feedback you've been getting?
Well, I think people have questions, and which is good, and we always want to answer people's questions. The impact we have to just kind of assess as we go along. We don't expect it to have much impact because we are really a different. We have a much different orientation than some of our critics, I can begin to address those now.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the article, and Karen Gillette says that we're up fundraising in her name. And actually, what happened in that circumstance was Brian Kepke, who is a really cool guy, who's a homeless guy who serves on the board of the Homeless Community Resource Center, worked for Outreach, and he's a canvasser. He used to canvass for Greenpeace, and so. Brian is working here at Outreach to make money for himself so he can live more comfortably. And so we told Brian, well, hey, Brian, it's really cool that you're here, and we recognize that you're working with the Homeless Community Resource Center. So we will give 10% of whatever you raise and collect directly to the Homeless Community Resource Center. So, Brian, I thought, as a board member of the Homeless Community Resource Center, had some authority to... and as an employee of that agency, had some authority to speak on behalf of them. And so when he canvassed, and I didn't ask him to or didn't give permission to, he told people that a portion of the collection would go to the Homeless Community Resource Center. And in fact, it did. We've written 3 checks to the Homeless Community Resource Center. And I
how much for a total of?
A total of about $60. It was, so Brian would go out and raise $100, we would give $10 of that to the Homeless Community Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, we actually have a thank you card from Karen Gillette thanking us for our generous donation. Let me just briefly describe something to you that in canvassing, if any of your listeners have canvassed before, they know that there are role plays and you practice your presentation. And so I think Brian, in practicing, was saying, hey, I'm with the Homeless Community Resource Center. And so a couple of our canvassers, may have picked it up and let them know that a portion of their contribution would go to the Homeless Community Resource Center, which is in fact the truth. Never did anyone say that we were fundraising on behalf of the Homeless Community Resource Center or representing the Homeless Community Resource Center. And when I weathered a phone call from Karen Gillette expressing a concern, I immediately instructed the staff in front of Brian Koepke's presence that they in no way should represent the Homeless Community Resource Center.
In other words, Karen chose to turn down that funding.
No, she didn't. Oh, well, she...
Did she send the $65 back or whatever the...
No. Had?
Interesting.
No. Yeah, kind of is. But I think we, you know, let's look at, you know, the real story. And I mean, let's look at Karen Gillette's funding. And Karen Gillette receives like 84% of her funding from the government. And so, I don't know, most people who I know would consider her to be some sort of a government agent at that point, when your paycheck and your livelihood depends on politicians. And so I see her response and her attitude to be more of a political gesture than a wanting to help the homeless gesture.
Mm-hmm.
I have a budget from of the Homeless Community Resource Center from $7,194 to $630.95.
Julio, may I have a copy?
Sure. I was astounded to look that 56% of funding for the Homeless Community Resource Center goes to salaries. I was actually shocked that someone who is supposed to be representing the homeless people in this community, 56% of their revenue goes to salaries. Only about 9 or 8% actually goes to food for the homeless people who stay there.
Hmm. Well, you know, Linda Edwards, who died in June, was a longtime critic of the quality of the food at the Free Meal, which is the program of the Community Day Resource Center, which Karen Gillette has run since 1990.
There are quite a few critics of the food quality and appeal, but they don't want to be treated like Linda was, so you don't hear them on public venues very often.
Yeah. So
that budget puts it in perspective.
So what is the significance? I'll ask both Leo and Linda, what is the significance of the, well, what percentage of your money goes to food? What percentage of your money?
Excellent. That's a good question. We employ homeless people or poor people, and so when they work here and they fundraise, part of the contribution goes directly to them. And so I can say that 50% of what is raised goes directly to support the homeless workers or the poor workers. That's part of the program, is to be a means of a viable employment for these people. So, you know, they can use the money for whatever they want. You know, we don't say that you have to eat rice or that you have to do this with your money. We want to give people some sort of independence and freedom, give them some sort of dignity that is associated with working a job.
How long is your... Sorry, go ahead, Linda. I wanted to say something.
I just wanted to add that that's kind of a radical notion among providers of services to the homeless, to permit any level of empowerment.
Exactly.
Did you want to say something else, Leo, about that subject? I wanted to guide a question for you. If you
Let me just say one more, that, you know, in operating a canvas, we produce and disseminate our own literature, and we go to communities throughout the county and educate citizens, and that's cost of education. And so 20% of our funds go to educating the general public. As I mentioned earlier, 30% of our funds in the past went directly to like either the homeless garden or the satellite shelter program. It's funny that the greatest recipients of our work are maybe our greatest critics. And then 41.3% goes to job training and employment, which is, again, providing, you know, jobs and opportunity for homeless people. And 11% goes to administration, which includes my $200 a week stock option plan. Just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Like telephone and rent and things like that.
How many people have you employed in the last... Well, first of all, when did you begin this homeless outreach?
October of 1994.
And how many people have been employed by homeless outreach during that period?
I'd say about 20.
And how long have the current you have, what, 7 or 8 people now who are currently employed? Or?
I'd say 6.
And what's your average turnover? How long is your average worker work for Homeless Outreach?
I would say 2 months.
And so your current group of people have been out working for 2 months?
Yes, we have a gentleman who's been with us about 4 months, and a couple people who've been with us like a month.
Is Brian still working with you?
No. We'll say maybe perhaps we can speculate that a victim of political
pressure?
Yeah.
And corporate hornswaggling.
Well now, so let's see. What
was speculation?
Sure, I understand. You have the article before you. Fotenhauer claims that he has contacted you, Paul Fotenhauer, who is the head of the, or a board member of the United Service Agencies,
right.
And also co-founder of the ISSP Interface Satellite Shelter Program, says
right.
that he wanted to sever relationships with you, you're not a part of his organization,
right.
But yet the Sentinel article says that you are listed on Outreach's literature as a member of the board of directors.
Right.
Is that true?
He was.
Fotenhauer is listed, I'm sorry.
Right,
not
he was. He no longer is currently, and
when was that change made?
The change was made on Saturday.
On Saturday. So the story did prompt, that part of the story was true then?
Well, yes and no, but these are issues that, you know, that you maybe sometimes read about in, like, People magazine, where, you know, like these smoke-filled rooms and board meetings and things like that, but I'll describe, if you don't mind, exactly what transpired.
Go ahead.
On April, the 1st, we had a meeting with Paul Lee's house. So Paul Lee and Paul Fotenhauer.
Who is Paul Lee, for those of us who don't know?
Paul Lee is, I personally have I respect the person. He's chairman of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and he's chairman of the Community Outreach for the Homeless, and he has helped to start many of the homeless service programs in this community. He was in favor of passing the vehicular camping ordinance and continues to oppose the camping ban.
I think Linda wants to add something to that.
Yeah, about Paul Lee, that he was one of the co-founders with Paige Smith of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. And he's, you know, a friend of Timothy Leary and I think a good advocate, and something less than that is a corporate board member.
But go ahead, Leo.
He also helped to found the first shelter down on Cedar Street when the city of Santa Cruz refused to get their hands dirty when it was time and the resources were there, and it was a terrible stormy winter. And he stuck his neck out politically, and I thought that was significant. But he doesn't always finish things. Of course, who am I to say that?
So then Paul Fotenhauer was there, and then a man named Herb Schmidt and Jerry Lasko were at this meeting. And so
it was a meeting of?
This is the board of United Services Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so Paul Lee had informed me, and I have signed documentation attesting to the fact that I was treasurer of United Services Agency.
Mm-hmm.
So at this meeting, we sit down and Paul Lee says, hey, you know, I want to introduce you to this guy, Leo. He's doing canvassing and...
Speak up a little, Leo.
He's doing canvassing and doing outreach for the homeless, and he's doing a really super job, and I really would like him to be under the auspices of United Services Agency. And so, you know, mostly older men were going, you know, conferring. Okay, we think that's a really good idea.
So you hadn't been treasurer before, but now you were?
Exactly. And so...
You were appointed treasurer at this meeting?
No. Okay. What happened, and what I'm describing, is the assumption of United Services Agency of Community Homeless Outreach. And so they became our like, operating nonprofit organization.
Do you have that still?
No. As of Saturday, we no longer have that. And I'll explain to you why.
Okay. Okay,
but I want to go into the very simple history
Please do.
Of our affiliation with the United Services Agency.
Mm-hmm.
So United Services Agency has two affiliates. One is in Palo Alto, and one is in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was under the auspices of the Santa Cruz United Services Agency branch, which is chaired by Paul Lee, and which I was treasurer of. Okay. Now, the minutes, I wasn't officially appointed treasurer at this board meeting, but I was appointed treasurer by Paul Lee, who is chairman of the Santa Cruz affiliate, to be treasurer. And there are only two board members in the Santa Cruz affiliate, or two officers, and that was me and Paul Lee.
Now, when did you get appointed?
I think it was, I don't have a specific date, it was an oral appointment, and in the sense that he, we had letterhead, and the letterhead indicated Paul Lee as president and me as treasurer.
This was in April or so?
I would say, yeah, it was in April.
Okay, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. So we broke off from operating under the Citizens Committee for the Homeless in April, and so we continued to operate as a United Services Agency. So things kept on, you know, merrily hopping along, and then what happened was on June the 13th, we broke apart from the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and we decided to, there wasn't a contractual relationship with them, but we agreed, we decided not to give all of our money to the Citizens Committee anymore, and to reinvest more into this program. Okay, so right about that time, we came out with our newsletter that we sent to our contributors throughout the community.
And how many are they?
Oh, that's proprietary.
I mean, a general estimate. Hundreds, thousands, five.
I would say it's a significant amount, is what I would say. I appreciate you asking, but I will consider that proprietary at this moment.
By proprietary, you mean private?
Exactly.
Strange. I mean, why wouldn't you want to say generally how many people you have?
Well, because I think that I would.
He has to protect himself, Robert.
Exactly. It's an indication of our influence in the community, which I don't want to underestimate and I don't want to overestimate. So, if it's okay, Robert,
why don't you go ahead? I mean, I'm
pass on that for now.
Pass on it, but I mean, it's to me, it's significant that you don't want to mention it. But go ahead.
Okay. I will say we have substantial supporters in this community. So let's see here. So I'll say we have over 1,000.
Okay, that's fine.
That's fine. Let's see here.
And you're not even counting me.
Okay. So June came, and so we came up with the newsletter, and I said, and Paul Lee, who reviewed the newsletter and who edited the newsletter, I said, Paul, what names do I need to put on the newsletter? He goes, you put down my name, you put down Paul Fotenhauer's name, you put down Alan Beyer's name, and I said, are you sure? Is this going to be okay? He goes, sure. And so I assumed that because Paul was at the meeting where United Services Agency assumed us, and from Paul Lee, and because I communicated with Paul Fotenhauer on a pretty regular basis about this program, that that would be okay. So we break away from the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, then Paul Fotenhauer, after the newsletter is published, and the newsletter cost $1,000 to publish, Paul Fotenhauer says, oh, take my name off of the newsletter, and I don't want to be part of the organization. And so I said, that's fine. So immediately what I did is I took his name off of the letterhead that listed all the board of directors for Community Outreach for the Homeless, but I left his name on the newsletter just for the fact that at that time I thought it would be very expensive to republish a whole other newsletter. So, as far as legally, Paul Thornhauer was not a part of the organization, and in communications with other people other than the newsletter, he was not considered part of the organization. But when one of our canvassers knocked on Karen Gillette's door, they handed Karen Gillette the newsletter, which had Paul Thornhauer as a board member. And so anyway, it's been changed now. So what happened finally on Saturday was that the board of directors of United Services Agency had an emergency meeting. And
spurred by the Sentinel story.
Exactly. And so present at the meeting were a quorum of Paul Thornhauer, Herb Schmidt, and Jerry Lasko.
Were you there, Leo?
No.
Were you invited?
I wasn't informed. And Paul Lee wasn't there either, but they still had 3 of 5 people. And so they elected not to have community outreach for the homeless as part of United Services Agency. And Herb Schmidt also said that he said that I was authorized to be a part of Paul Lee's environmental project called Ecotopia. But I didn't think to say, well, this actually is a project of Ecotopia. I just said, okay, thank you very much. And so anyway, we're going to be we're affiliating now with yet another nonprofit organization called the Platonic Academy. It's an organization that is directed by Paul Lee, and we're not going to have to be dealing with a bunch of 70-year-old ministers anymore.
So I think Linda is whispering something to me. Linda, you want to say anything directly to Leo here?
I've heard of the Platonic Academy. In fact, I've paid tuition to it.
Oh, my goodness.
I've also heard Paulie subsequently say that it no longer existed, so you probably want to ask for their annual report.
Yeah, I've already called the city, and they are registered and listed.
Do you have a business license yourself?
No one in the city of Santa Cruz has a business license currently because they're all under review, but we have applied for a business license.
When did you apply?
You mean they wouldn't give you one?
We have had one in the past, but they're in what they call a grace period where they're being reissued currently. So we have been registered and we are applying for licensing currently.
Have you weighed the advantages of just getting a business license and disassociating with all these alleged nonprofits altogether and not having that kind of a corporate umbrella?
Exactly. Yes, Linda, we have considered that, and in fact, that's still an option for us. We had interviews this morning with I would have to take care of this morning, but we had Domino's Pizza today. We interviewed 3 homeless people who were seeking employment in the private sector with Domino's Pizza, and Chuck Griffin, owner of the Domino's Pizza company, was in our office, and we hired, we interviewed 3 people. One gentleman was living in a van, another gentleman was in drug rehabilitation, and another woman was staying in a local battered shelter. So we're going to be announcing that hiring on Friday. And I think it's looking really positive. This is part of our private homeless employment project where we're working to directly link businesses with the homeless, avoiding all the governmental bureaucracy and just attempting to link them up. So that's what we've been focusing on this morning. But to answer Linda's question specifically, yes, that's a viable option. And we still yet may do that.
I think it might be the most economic option, and it'll probably save tons of paperwork in the long run.
Definitely.
Well, so we've had the Sentinel's homeless outreach at your door. Here we have homeless outreach at your radio. And
oh, by the way, if you want to mail in a big fat contribution,
yes.
Send us P.O. Box 409, Santa Cruz 95061, and it will be used to help to provide employment and job training for homeless people in this community.
Mm-hmm. Which means specifically what?
Specifically helping to link businesses like landscaping and gardening opportunities for homeless people and for private employers, like, for example, Domino's Pizza.
So if I send in $50, what are you going to do with it?
We're going to hire another homeless worker here in Outreach.
What if he only sends 20?
Then,
and you'll order pizza for everybody.
If he sends 20, we'll use it probably to publish, these new newsletters that we had to come out with without Paul Fotenauer's name, to publish maybe about 500 of those so we can distribute them. So that will be used for educational purposes. But also, if there's any homeless person out there in Radioland who would like an opportunity to interview for a managerial position at Domino's Pizza of Santa Cruz County, paying $5.50 an hour with no experience, call 423-0722. Or if you are a gardener or landscaper, we have positions available to do that kind of work. You can call the same number.
Give your number again, ma'am.
423-0722.
And your mailbox number?
P.O. Box 409. Santa Cruz 95061.
Okay. Go ahead, Linda.
Never mind. I was going to say, would you hire me to get it? I think I'm about to lose my disability income, which means I'll be homeless again, but we can wait till it happens.
Okay. Yeah, totally. You can totally. we work really hard here, but we do some things good, and I think that our biggest advantage is that I really look that we're these people who serve on these boards, they just either have not been homeless or they just haven't been in touch with people who are, or they just haven't really sat down and talked to a young person near being homeless. Once they take the time to do that, they will just learn so much that they will begin to, their minds will begin to open. So for all you critics out there of us or any other homeless program, just go to the mall and pick out one of those homeless people picking panhandling and talk to them and learn about yourself and about their life.
Well, that's great, Leo. I'm going to hope that we can get a critic of yours on the show next time, and maybe we'll call you and get a rousty debate. And if you want to give us a weekly update, can you hear our show there? Have you tried listening to the radio 89.3 FM, which is what we're coming over right now?
Yeah, no, I thought it was KZSC, but
You might try tuning in onto the show.
Oh, okay.
And our call-in number is 427-3772, both for you and for all listeners who are interested in responding to this debate. And I'm gonna kind of close this out pretty quickly so we can have other people get on the line.
Cool.
But Linda has something she wants to say.
Okay.
Or 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, so you can remember it easier.
FR what?
FRSC, sort of like FRISC,
cool,
but it's
like
the
that.
Acronym for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
That's a good name.
So all you have to do is remember the 427.
Frisky station here.
Some of us are number retarded.
So definitely.
I would like to throw something Leo's way. The newspaper said that you have to pay over $100 in rent for your turret there. I remember the people at that church saying they would make space available free to help homeless people. I don't know what happened to that. Maybe Paul Lee got that, but I just wanted to tell you that I had heard that.
I don't know. I think that the Citizens Committee pays, I don't know, I don't, You know, this is like landlord-tenant situation.
Yeah.
And so,
well, who knows? It might be changing within the year, too. So tuck that in the brim of your cap.
Yeah, but I think that generally the relationship we've had with the church has been really cool. And the minister here, Reverend A.C., is really supportive of... and I think, see, they give out gas vouchers downstairs.
Wow.
And so I'm hoping that the money that we give them for rent is like going to the gas vouchers.
That's cool.
They also are... looking to fund a program for like high school kids here, and so I think that we're helping maybe funding the program for that too. So, you know, I think the church has some valuable programs in its own that we are happy to you know, help support and to compensate them for use of their space. You know,
mm-hmm.
It is space.
It's the Garfield Park Church, right?
Yeah.
It's
the people here are really nice. It's a really supportive environment, so, you know, I think it's...
So what are your hours, Leo, for people who do want to volunteer? And, again, give your phone number.
423-0722. The hours were usually open at, like, 10 a.m. in the morning, and people are dribbling in and out until about 4 p.m., and then people are back here usually between 8 and 10 p.m.
Okay, and when is your next meeting of your organization? Are you having that might be open to the public to talk about? You, do you intend to respond to these charges in print?
You know, I usually actually don't read the Sentinel very often, and so
you probably have a copy of this one.
Yeah, I do. I guess I'll respond to them. I just don't have much time to, you know, respond to it. I'd rather do instead of getting involved in all the, you know, political blah blah. I'd rather, you know, make sure and focus on the work I'm doing here. That's my first priority.
I see. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the air and talking back. And
thank you for standing up for people who happen to be homeless.
Totally.
And, you know, get in touch again.
I will. Thank you, Robert.
All right.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Leo Buhacker, head of homeless outreach, who has recently been attacked by Karen Gillette, Paul Fotenhauer, Paul Marceau, and the Santa Cruz County Sentinel, editorially, among other people. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. Our phone lines are open, but frankly, I have to confess, I have blown it again, waiting outside the studio with a gun and camera, or I should say with a beard and camera, or possibly without camera, just with beard, is Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, who has been hopefully trying to get the... Yeah, that's him. Get his play, Home Sweet Homeless, finally finished on the radio, because we have agreed to do that, and it's been lingering on for the last 2.5 weeks, so...
Teasing everyone in Free Radio Land.
So we will hope to get this thing on the air, and I mean like now, because the next show host has not showed up, so we are seizing the time, as Bobby Seale used to say. Seizing the time, we're gonna let Nick introduce and remind our listeners what has actually happened in this play, a political satire, Home Sweet Homeless, which Nick performed outdoors and indoors and all around the town back in 1991, was it, Nick?
Yeah, the last election of Bush.
Last election of Bush. 1990 was the last election, I guess. Maybe it was 1990 that you performed it.
Well, Clinton. Clinton beat Bush.
Oh, that's right. Clinton won. Yeah, it's hard to remember now who won that one. So I'm gonna turn the mic over to Nutcracker Nick to discuss this, or maybe we should go back and forth on it, or maybe Nick and Linda can go back and forth on it. You've seen the play, right, Linda?
Yeah, I got to see it on the Knoll at Laurel Park by Loudon Nelson Center.
Yeah, it was quite a play. In fact, I think the police started trying to arrest a vehicle from Food Not Bombs during one of the performances. It was life imitating art, because one of the scenes in Home Sweet Homeless is the arrest of people serving food. In 1989, Jane Immler and Linda LeMaster and Robert Norris and maybe even Nick Whitehead, all the people who are here, and some of whom are represented as characters in the play Home Sweet Homeless, were harassed by the police, and some of us were arrested for trying to, and for actually succeeding in, serving free food to homeless people at the town clock before the current free meal went into effect, actually created, I think, in large part by the kind of protest feedings that we did. But let me say no more and pass the mic over to Nutcracker Nick, who has been trampling up and down the path, no doubt, wearing out his shoes, waiting for me to remember that he is still here.
Block the Block grants in Congress. Save some children from homelessness in the coming year.
So the next voice you hear hopefully will be that of Nutcracker Nick Whitehead, playwright, SPAN activist, Stop Police Abuse Now, his organization, and worker for the Danner recall as well. Go ahead.
Just before we do that, I want to make this small announcement for the Mumia Abu Jamal event that's coming up on Sunday the 13th in Santa Cruz, starting at 3 o'clock at the Veterans Memorial Hall. Lots of bands there. Wind Cave, Space Masons, and Yo Body, good bands, and soul singer, just let me get the name off the flyer here, Somaya Kambui, who is a kind of spiritual soul singer, and this is to benefit Mumia Abu Jamal's legal fees for his lawyer defending him against possible execution. So that's at the Veterans Hall Sunday, starting at 3, running till, do you know how long it?
I think actually it's supposed to run till very late. I think Just Man Jim Costner is involved with that, mentioned that to me.
And there'll be poets and other lots of speakers paying tribute to Mumia's works. But it's a dance concert, essentially, with some speakers. And it runs, till real late, like 11 o'clock or so. It's a sliding scale, $4 to $10. So be there Sunday afternoon till evening.
Where is this again, Nick?
At the Veterans Hall on Front Street, the big auditorium, next to the post office.
Fair enough. Well, getting back to the long-delayed home sweet homeless, maybe you could update the audience as to what has happened.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. The synopsis of the play was that Tex, the folk singer, had joined with the local homeless in a revolt against the sleeping ban during the time of Mayor Marty Wormspout and John Scared. And in the middle of an election campaign, Councilman Don Lame and Marty Wormspout and John Scared had all become homeless themselves. They'd lost their businesses, they'd lost their homes, and they were forced to share a sleeping bag together in a hidden glade on the San Influenzo River. Now we're going to hear the scene that happens after Calamity Jane Steamroller of Soup Kitchen fame has taken over the council, along with town crier Robert Norse. That name keeps cropping up again. And sundry other people who've become the new council. The election was a radical turnabout, and we have a not a progressive council. This one's a radical one. Accordingly, they're going to hear a radical idea on how to solve the homeless problem once and for all.
Sorry about that, wrong button, folks.
Now we see Jane Steamroller running her first city council meeting.
It's stranger than any picture.
Sit down, it's time for the meeting. Everybody here?
Yep. Take it away, Jane.
Okay. Well, we're going to start the meeting without you guys. You were late last week, too.
I'm here, all right?
Okay, hi, Don. All right, now that we're finished with all the hostile old business, council will turn its attention to new business. Yeah. And that new business is really old business. It's been swept under the rug for at least 10 years. And that's the business of our homeless brothers and sisters.
Yeah, right on.
And, miracle of miracles, council member Don Lame, the only surviving member of the old guard, claims to have a solution. Take it away, Don.
Yes, well, I've just returned from Joklahoma, Japan, where I went with Mr. Nagasuki of the Joklahoma Jokers Novelty Company.
Well, where is Mr. Nagasuki, Don?
Well, right now I'd say he's over Catalina Island.
What?
The great rainbow angel is whisking him across the great waters.
Oh, thanks.
Whoa! That was fast! Wow! Here he is!
What, Don?
He just got out of his clamshell. He's gonna talk to us.
Don, what are you talking about?
Such a lame brain.
He's here, see?
This is hearsay.
He is a lame brain.
What about you, I have most remarkable proposal regarding housing shortage of American homeless.
Okay.
Answer is, do not live in house, live in clamshell. Artificial clamshell. Artificial. Very comfortable. See?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Take it. Cook. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Economical solution. Clamshell does not need land. It floats on water. Can put many people on bay. Eat on water, sleep on water, but not pee-pee in water.
No way.
All pee-pee and other matters travel down long too, to big tanker ship. Human waste recycling.
Oh, you mean the big shit's gonna go to the big tanker shit?
So! Must have big ship! Must be tanker!
Wakandanga!
That's right, human waste, serious business!
Oh!
Serious!
Also serious profit!
What are you serious of this?
Oh, yes.
You're going to, sell our, crap?
Not crap, reprocessed human fertilizer!